And that's the signal to get started with Coffee with Decoder, episode 63. Thank you for dialing in. I saw some numbers popping up just in the last minute or so. And also, big shout out to those of you insiders who dialed in 10 minutes early and got this lesson on appropriate signatures. So thanks for being here today. And Paula, I am ready to get started. Did you want to say anything before?
Awesome. Yeah, sorry, I got a little bit long-winded on those signatures. But, guys, if you're not on the insiders, you know, I usually try to come up with some cool topic that will help you in your day-to-day. So, you know, join us. And we give special deals to insiders. So, yeah.
Yes. Okay, so first, this question is coming from Lori, and I think she's in Georgia. I'm not real sure about that. But anyway, she says, I need some information on billing allergy codes. 95180, when is it allowed? Is it only for med, or is it also for venom? Is it for desensitization? 95165, understanding, can we bypass the MUE? And is there another code for the cluster shots? So Laura's got a little confusion about these allergy codes.
Yeah, so this, this is a big question, actually. It sounds really short. And Lori, of course, for those of you who may not know, the codes that she stated were CPT codes, and they're for outpatient billing for allergy services. So first of all, just to address that 95180, it is for rapid desensitization. So let me give you a little bit of background. Desensitization is also referred to as allergy immunotherapy. And desensitization, normal desensitization, can take up to a year and sometimes longer. Rapid desensitization, let's say, give that big word, is a system of using allergy shots in clusters or groups 1 or 2 days a week until a maintenance dose is achieved, because typically, you know, it works like a vaccine. Your body becomes tolerant and builds up immunity to the allergen with injection of small doses. So either they're doing this over a long period of time, or they're doing rapid desensitization and doing it faster. Payers usually cover it when there is insect sting hypersensitivity, moderate to severe allergic rhinitis before allergy season. You would not report it in the same visit as allergy testing, as allergy testing is actually considered a component unless the allergy testing is done for a separate allergen, in which case you would use modifier 59 on it. So allergy testing and immunotherapy for the same allergen or allergens are not performed on the same day in standard medical practice. CPT 95180, it bundles almost all of the codes in the section for allergy testing, which is the codes that range between 95004 and 95079. So, yes, if it's rapid desensitization, you could use it for med or venom. It's just the fact that it's rapid versus the fact that it's taking place over a longer period of time, okay? And then to the second part of your question, the description for CPT code 95165 is professional services for supervision of preparation and provision of antigens for allergen immunotherapy, single or multiple antigens, and then it tells you to specify the number of doses. This code includes the physician's prep of the antigen extract itself, including calculations for the concentration or volume of dosage needed based on the patient's previously performed skin test. So the physician actually prepares the extract. The physician should document the number of doses needed. The code is for single or multiple antigens, but also indicates the number of doses is required. So the number of doses does not correlate to the number of vials. So when you're reading the record, don't presume they're the same. The number of vials is irrelevant. 95165 is reported based on the type of preparation, for example, 95165, single or multiple, non-stinging insect. And 95170 is for whole body extract of a biting insect or arthropod. Now, for venomous insects, the number of different venoms contained in a single injection determines the code. And that's 95145 for one stinging single insect venom extract in one dose. 95146 is for two single stinging insect venoms in one dose. 95147 is for three. 95148 is for four. 95149 is for five. Now, in addition to this, the administration of the allergy testing is reported separately. So CPT codes 95115 for a single injection, 95117 for multiple injections, and then the range of codes 95144 through 70 as appropriate. Now, you asked the question if the MUE could be bypassed for 95165. The MUE for physician office and hospital outpatient is 30 units for 95165, and no, you cannot bypass the units. However, you need to be careful and pay attention to your payers, different payers, because some payers will allow as much as 120 units per calendar year, so per 365 days, I would say, because it doesn't necessarily be a calendar year, but per year. I'm not sure of your payer, but CMS has created an instruction document, which we will attach to the recording of this call as well. So I won't read you the link, but I will attach it to the call so you can get on either our Facebook page or our AQIQ website and go and look at that if you wanted more detailed information.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you, Lori, for that question. And we're going to go over this one. It's an inpatient rehab question, and it comes from Audrey. She describes the situation. The patient is a 56-year-old female admitted to rehab with lower extremity weakness, acute with symptoms including leg cramps. The physician states suspected spinal cord infarct at T6 to T9. Patient has loss of bowel and bladder control. Physician also states T5 Asia D, paraplegia associated to the suspected spinal cord infarct. I know rehab diagnoses on the coding summary cannot be ruled out, suspected or possible. Should we report G95.1, acute infarction of spinal cord, or R29.898, other symptoms involving musculoskeletal system, with R25.2, cramp and spasm, or should something else be the etiology?
Okay, so that was an excellent question. Thank you, Audrey. And Audrey and I actually went back and forth and communicated on this one. Yes, it's correct. You cannot report, rule out, suspected, or possible, and that is on the IRF-PI or the UB04 claim form. You can't report in either place because reporting in an IRF setting is, in that respect, is sort of like reporting on the outpatient side. You can do it on the hospital, but not in an IRF setting. So what do we know about this patient? That was my question. What is the confirmed thing? The spinal cord infarct would not be reported because it is unconfirmed. But what is confirmed and what is our focus of care? I would say the paraplegia. It's confirmed. Of course, it's not optimal because if we knew what caused the paraplegia, that's what we were going to report first, correct? So which would be the infarct. But since it isn't confirmed, paraplegia is confirmed. So we would report the paraplegia.
Thank you. Thank you. I got one more. This is from Carrie, and Carrie has been one of our winners before, so thank you for sending another question, Carrie. She says, when coding for Pro-C, which diagnosis would you report for a patient? I'm sorry, this is going to be sad. when you're coding for Pro-C, which diagnosis would you report for a patient who witnessed mother and sister getting physically abused when the patient was young? The patient does not have a history of physical abuse, but would there be some other way to report this, maybe problems related to upbringing?
Yeah, we did a little research on this one, too, because I was interested, too. It's like, okay, would you report that? Because the patient themselves did not have physical abuse. But then, yes, there is something that impacted that child's life by seeing that. So, yes, we agree. After research that we would report problems related to upbringing, since it's specified, the specific code would be Z62.898. Now, of course, if there's problems related to the fact of what this child saw and now he's an adult, of course, you're going to report those as well. So if there's anxiety, depression, anything related to that, that's just some examples I threw out because, there weren't any stated in the question, but yes, Z62.898 would be the diagnosis code for that.
Thank you, thank you. So I'm running out of time, and I just want to remind everybody that there's a spring sale going on. All the webinars are $99, and all the replays are $99 or less, and so we really appreciate that.
And the insiders,
you don't have
Pam?
To use a code.
The insiders,
I can tell insiders. I can. I was planning something for insiders, but I ran out of time. Is it okay to say it on the open call?
Yeah.
Okay. So today, for the insiders, since Paula talked about the signature requirements, my plan is to give you that course that is a replay on AQIQ for $20. So it is in there on sale for $99, but because you dialed in early, the way to get it is you need to reach out to me, help@aq-iq.com, or whatever other email address you have for me, and I will give you the code. So, and now I got to mug somebody. My postman always laughs at me about this. I'm going to be mailing a mug very soon to one of these three people who ask questions because they're all non-anonymous today, and I've put their names on slips of paper, and I'm shuffling it on the desk. So let's find out who's going to be our winner today. Lori, congratulations, Lori. Thank you for your question. I will be reaching out to you to find out where to mail your mug. And do join us again on the 20th, so that's 2 weeks from today, for episode 64, and send us some more questions. Thank you for being here for Coffee with Decoder.